Oh, I need
Today,
to
I'm
add.
re- Today, I'm very excited to welcome a guest who is a Triple Crown hiker. In fact, she's the first Mexican national to accomplish that feat. I'd like to welcome Zazine Akazeli. I hope I pronounced that properly. Pardon me if I didn't. Excuse me if I messed that up. I would like to welcome Zazine to Papa Bear Hikes podcast. Welcome. So let's start off by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with Martin. My name is Zazine Akazeli. I am the first person of Mexico Triple Crown. And I am engineer and I am an athlete. I consider it also the true hiking like a sport for me. And before the doing true hiking, I did some mountain biking and a lot of other sports like a rowing. And I like to be in the outdoors. I like to do racing with myself now, because this is something I really like it about the true hiking, is I'm racing with myself. I'm not racing with others. It's not the same when I was doing racing and mountain bike. So the other thing very important is I found my passion in the true hiking. I never know about passion before the true hiking. For me, I was some things that I like, but it's big difference how I feel when I do true hiking. So true hiking for me is passion, totally.
I've spoken to a lot of through hikers, long distance hikers, people that have just hiked shorter trails. And something happens. You get bit by that backpacking, that hiking bug, and people just seem to fall in love with it. There's just something about it. And I mean, in your case, you finished the Pacific Crest Trail and then went on and did another one of the big trails and went on and did another one. But if I understand correctly, you had never done any through hiking or backpacking before you went on the PCT.
Exactly, Martin. Before they start doing my first long trail, that was the Pacific Crest Trail, I never did it other trail before, because in this time, Mexico, we don't have long trails or short trails. And this is start going to change very slowly right now, when the time that was in 2017, we don't have. So for me, hiking no was like a culture. No was a culture in Mexico in this time. So, and also I dedicate my life in this moment for racing a mountain bike. So I prefer doing and ride my bike in some dirt roads or something. But hiking, never. I never did long hiking before the Pacific Crest Trail. That was my first time.
So riding a bike, and let everybody know this, you know, riding a bike, this was in Mexico City, which is mountainous. So this gave you some preparation for hitting some of those mountains by foot when you got on those Triple Crown hikes, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Living in Mexico City, yeah, it was, the city was around the big mountains, the high elevation. We live in high elevation, 7,000 feet elevation. So that can make me, I think, and also, live in Mexico City, I think it was the reason why it make me love the mountains. Also because my parents too, they like a lot the mountains at the wild. So they make me respectful when I was younger, be around that, because my mom, she was working in the farms when she grew in farms. So she was always introduced me to be around the something natural. And then she was chemic biologist. And my father was very good athlete. So he always take me some runnings outside in the mountains, but nothing crazy like 2 days the hiking or something. I think I never have camping with my parents, but they give me the values, it's correct to say, the values for I can care about the wild, because this is very interesting, Martin, but it's not very common because in Mexico City is big city. So sometimes I don't know what happened, but not a lot of people care for the ecology or the nature around us. Now it's very important for us. Now everything is changed because COVID happened. But before that, a lot of people don't care about the wild. And it's good that the people start care about that because the wild or the ecology is the only thing we have for us, you know?
Yes. I think that's common in a lot of the large cities everywhere in the world. That COVID put everybody in a position where they wanted to get outside and enjoy the outdoors. And if there is a silver lining to a tragedy like the pandemic is that, yeah, maybe more people are gaining a greater appreciation for the outdoors and for these trails and these treasures we have out there, that more people are going out and enjoying them.
Exactly. So this is very nice. So only need to put attention that it's good to enjoy the being the in the wild places and the open places, but care always for the animals, for the vegetation there, for not put trash in these trails, you know? It's important because it's we house, no? I think it's the house of everyone. So we need to care about that a lot.
Well put. Or well said. That's, yeah, it's one big house for all of us to enjoy, and we should all be treating it that way. Exactly. We just toss our garbage and around our house. Well, it's one big house that we're sharing with, you know, bears and mountain lions and everything else that's out there. I like that. Well said.
Yeah, I like you say, Martin. I think one of the things that make me enjoy a lot the true hikings is to see animals. And I always say that because when I was living in Mexico, we no see a lot of animals in the mountains because we killed them too much time ago. So see animals in the habitats, like I see in the trails, that was magnificent for me. That was incredible. That was enjoyable. And I think this is some of the reasons why I love to hiking for myself too. Because when I hiking for myself, I enjoy to see these small things the wild give you to do. And also sometimes when you're walking with more people, not happen all these magic things. You know, the animals come when you're quiet. I don't know. It's something magic happen to me every time I hiking. I see a lots of things, a lot of animals that make me very, very beautiful stories every time I go in there.
I've been hiking and backpacking for nearly 50 years, and it doesn't get old. When I'm by myself and I just happen to, you know, come up on a deer over, you know, drinking water from a stream, it's still just as magical as it was when I was 7 years old.
Exactly. I think it's all the elements together that make you like a call to us. Like I just say, it's a lot of true hikers feel in love with the long distance backpacking or the long distance trails. A lot of people feel in love. And I think the reason is why, because we humans, we like to be in natural places, outdoor places, and see the magic things that we don't see every day is something incredible.
Yeah. Now, Zazine, you didn't just, you did more than just go out and start through hiking when you did the PCT. You started that trail having to learn a new language.
Yeah, it's this other thing. Yeah, let's go. When I start hiking for the first time, that was the PCT. Also, I come to the United States for do only that. But, I have different mission. I have different, I don't know how you say, like a lawyers or levels in the true hiking. Every time I hike different trail, I have different experience and I have different objectives. My first objective when I hiked the PCT was give me a gift because I started working when I was 11 years old in Mexico City, because I'm not coming with a family with a lot of money. So I working very hard, and my objective was be engineer. So I finished my engineer degree when I was 23. And I was looking for something I can give me to me, like a gift. And in that moment, I was racing a mountain bike. So my first idea for give me the gift was riding a bike from Mexico City to the Patagonia. But that was a very long ride. But I didn't want training from Mexico City to the Gulf of Mexico. It's I don't know exactly how much is in miles, but it's past the 200 kilometers. I did it in one time with a bike. And after this day, after that day, they be riding for long day, I don't want to touch the bike for like a 1 week. And I feel, and it's like I say, I feel, I don't feel the same riding bike like I doing through hiking. So when I finished this day, I realized this is not something I going to like it. You know, I did it one day. I'm not sure I going to like it. Did it for months, you know, ride a bike from Mexico City to La Patagonia. So in that moment, I realized that was no good idea. So I meet some bikers, because my world was around bikers in this moment. So I meet some bikers, they ride a bike from California to Mexico City, and they told me about the Pacific Crest Trail. So that was why I started my investigation. And for me, really, Martin, in this moment, no was like a very popular, the Pacific Crest Trail, like now. So for me, it was something incredible, something like a one dream, because I never see this in my life. I never know about one long trail that can cross one country. That was insane for me. And also because in my country in that moment, we don't have trails with signs or something. If you want to explore in the mountains in this moment, you need to, you're probably going to be lost in some moment. You know, it's not like that. So for me, it was like, oh my God, it really exists one trail like that? And I start doing investigation, and I say, okay, when I decided to do the Pacific Crest Trail, Martin, that was in November 2016. And I finished my university in December 2016. So I don't have too much time to thinking or take the decision. It's something like I don't know exactly how you say this destination, mm-hmm. or is I say correct?
Yeah, yep. That's correct. Yeah,
I feel like something was calling me in that moment. You know, I'm not thinking too much. It was
impulsive. You acted impulsively, and you said, "That's where I want to go. That's the destination I'm looking for."
Exactly. That was like, oh my God, this is magic. I'm going, and I start I don't have too much time. November, and then I started hiking the Pacific Crest Trail in April 2017. So that was November, December, January, February, March, April, almost 5 months. And that was, I'm not hiking before. I'm not hiking anything before. So I don't have idea about the backpacks have sizes. I don't have idea about, yeah, using shoes or I should using boots. So I don't know. Oh, and let's think. I don't know idea anything about ultralight backpacking in that moment. Ultralight gear or something like that. Nothing, because that's no was in Mexico. So for that moment, that was very tough to me to know about many things about the trail. Also because I don't speak the language. I don't speak English in that moment. I studied in the university a little English, very little, but everybody in Mexico City are talking in Spanish. So I really I don't understand almost anything about English. And also, I wasn't the degree, engineer degree, where like engineers, we don't care about too much about the language. We care about math or physicals or numbers. And language, we don't care. And so I really not put too much attention in the English classes and anything. So when I come to United States, two of my objectives was, first, give me my gift for my hard work all my life. And second, that was learn English when I finished the trail. So that was I was scared, Martin. I think I always say in some interviews they make me before, I say, I think the thing more scared me about going the Pacific Crest Trail for the first time or hiking for the first time, that was no speak the language. No was the snow, no was the bears, because I never see bears in Mexico City. No was that kind of things. I was more scared because I don't know what say other people, you know?
You know, I want to ask you this because people talk about the magic of the trail, how nice people are. And I know on at least one of my long distance hikes, I met a young man who was from Germany who learned how to speak English at the beginning of his hike down at Springer Mountain. When he started Springer Mountain, he said he didn't know a word of English. And I remember talking to him one night and he said, you know, it's because of how nice people were to him on the trail, really helped him gain that confidence and get over that nervousness about being in a new country, right? You're leaving your country and going somewhere completely new and learning a new language. Did you find that to be true on the Pacific Crest Trail, that your fellow hikers were helpful to you or encouraging to you with the language?
Yes, absolutely. They was very nice with me. And not only that, was also the mix, the international people in the Pacific Crest Trail, because it's coming people for all the world. And I always carry with me one notebook, a small notebook. And I remember my first word was shelter. And still I have this notebook because I don't understand what they say when they say told me shelter. I don't know what is this work. And I remember the person paying for me one shelter in that notebook. So that was my first work. So yeah, the people was so nice. And also, I told you a funny story, Martin, but when I start, I think the more important thing helped me to learn English was, like I say, the other guy, not be scared to try, not be scared to not say the things correct, because, you know, it's difficult. I don't speak German, you know. It's difficult to speak whatever language. So one of the things that helped me a lot, that was I am Mexican, so I'm very friendly. I like to talk in too much. So for me, it was like, I need to talk. So when I meet some hikers and I say hi and they start conversation, and sometimes I don't understand anything they say. But if they laughing, I laughing. Because I like to be friendly. I like to talk. I like to meet people. And that was, I think, also that helped me a lot to learn English in the trail.
Right. You're a sociable person. So you didn't shy away from those opportunities to be around other people. And I'd have to imagine that helped with learning the language.
Mm-hmm. Other thing about the language, Martin, is when, you know, the Pacific Crest Trail, the more difficult section is the Sierra Nevada and the Pacific mm-hmm. Crest Trail. So when I feel grateful they don't speak very good English, because 2017 was the year more difficult, the very, very heavy snow year in the Pacific Crest Trail. Also, that year was when died two persons in the Pacific Crest Trail in the Sierras. So many people before they made it to the Sierras, they start told me a lot of things. I know the correct English. I probably will be. I think will be scared. But I don't understand anything they say. And I understand there was danger, but I don't know, imagine how danger that was. So that was the reason why I'm in to the Sierras, because I don't know what they say exactly. I understand a little, yes, in that moment, but not like a right now. If they told me about the Sierras and everything, I don't understand. So that was the reason and I feel grateful because Martin, that was when I fall in love about the true hiking when I was in the Sierras. The Sierras, yeah, that was crazy, crazy, crazy. I hiking like more than 300 miles in the snow, heavy snow. I can not see trees, no rocks, everything in the snow. And that was magic for me, I think, because I never see the snow before in my life. I live in Mexico City. I never see really. So for me, it was a little curious in the first time. And then I was scared because I had some bad experience in the first time because I know was like a customer to be, I don't know how do sports and the snow before, you know. Yeah, and after I start learning how I can do this in the snow, I can hiking in the snow, I can use the gear for the snow and everything, and I love it. And navigation and everything, I really love it. So I started feeling in love with the true hiking in that moment, but that was the challenge moment was when I decided, that is my thing, that is my passion. And then the moment was when I decided to do the Triple Crown, to be the first Mexican. So I not finished yet the PCT, but at that moment I going to do the Triple Crown and I going to be the first Mexican. I put in my objective. I don't know, Martin, but I usually when I am very clear with my objectives when I was very little, like I told you, I started working very hard when I was 11 years old because the necessity, because I want to be engineer. So I was 11 years old and I want to be engineer. So I did it. So the same things when I racing a mountain bike, I am very clear. I go with my objectives. So in that moment, the PCT, when I fell in love with the Sierras and everything, I said, my objective changed to be the gift for give me something for my hard work, to be that thing changed to be, I want to be the first person from Mexico Triple Crown. And that was, now I can tell you, Martin, like was in that moment, I was sure that I'm going to, but yeah. But I know was sure how many times it's going to take me to do it. But I was sure I'm going to, but I don't know how long. And that moment, Martin, I can tell you, I moved mountains for do this. That was my dream. That was my objective. And I do everything possible for this happen. And I feel very, very, very happy about that.
Wow. So you were on what's considered to be a pretty difficult part of the PCT, and probably that first real difficult section heading north. And then you made the decision, I'm enjoying this so much, I'm going to go on and do the other two trails. That's incredible. Like you've got this idea that when you set out to do something, you do it. That's just great. I want to ask you this. I read the article in Backpacker Magazine that you were featured in, and you talked about when you told your friends in 2017 that you were going to do the Pacific Crest Trail, what their reaction was.
Oh, they told me I am crazy. More when I told them they're going to be for myself, they say, are you crazy? You're going to be lost. You're going to, the bears, the snow, everything. And then they told me one thing when I told her because I was scared a little of the language. They told me, hey, I told her that I was scared because I don't speak English. They say, oh, what part are you going? The first part is California, no? And I said, California. And they say, oh, California is a lot of Latinos there. Yes. In the cities, no, in the mountains. And that was crazy. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So you make up your mind. You said you do the PCT, you finish it, and then your second of the Triple Crown was the CDT. You went on and did the Continental Divide Trail, or was it the Appalachian Trail? Which one did you do? You did the Appalachian Trail next.
I did the Appalachian Trail next because for me, I feel like a very strong athlete. Every time I want to do something, I prepare a lot, like a physical and mentally too. And I know true hiking is more mentally, but also if you don't prepare physical, you're not going to spend very good time all the time. It's why I enjoy. I really enjoy every time in the true hiking. I don't have bad moments. I feel like I don't consider bad moments, like, for example, big wet all the time or be cold. I don't consider that. I consider that like a be part of the challenge, be part of this objective, you know? I'm a little crazy.
Well, the athlete and you sees that as part of the challenge, right? Those three or four days of rain, straight rain, or those cold periods early on in the trail. That's part of the challenge. The athlete and you sees that as part of the challenge, not that this stinks. It's part of what, you know, I have to endure to get there to complete this.
Exactly.
That's a very healthy way to look at it.
So that was the reason why I decided, I planning after finish the PCT, I was CDT or Appalachian Trail, and I'm not ready for the CDT yet. It's why I chose first the Appalachian Trail, because I know the Pacific Crest Trail was difficult walking in the snow in some sections. I know the CDT was going to be other level, specialized because the avalanche and the ice and the cold weather is more hard. So I say, I'm not ready yet. So it's why I chose for Appalachian Trail in that moment.
I've seen that typically Triple Crowners will either do the PCT or the AT and save the CDT for last, because there's challenges thrown at you from all directions, right? You've got the weather you're going to get, the challenging weather you get on the PCT that you don't get on the AT, all the challenges from both of those trails you're going to get on the CDT. And it's could be more challenging to navigate.
Exactly.
And you don't have the towns, you don't have the town stops that you have. You don't, you know, you're going longer stretches where you can't get into town.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible high-quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
Exactly. That was why I chose the Appalachian Trail. But I chose other trail before the start, the Appalachian Trail. I know Appalachian Trail is part of the Triple Crown, But I was feeling in that moment I need to train more for the CDT. Like I told you, I like to prepare a lot to the things I'm going to do. So I chose the other trail, the name Hayduk Trail. So in 2018, I hiked two trails, Hayduk, and then I rest 4 days, and then I start hiking the Appalachian Trail. So I remember I started hiking the Appalachian Trail in May. That was last days the May. It was like a May 26, something like that. And that was crazy hot, super hot, and raining a lot. And also, other problem I have when I hiking every time in United States is my visa. So it's like only give me a stay every time 6 months. So I need to go fast. So Appalachian Trail was tired, really tired for me when I did it, because I did it in 3 months, because I don't know sure about my time to go out and go back to my country, because I can pass the limit time to be here in the United States. This is other thing. So, but Appalachian Trail was, so I remember other story I want to share with you, Martin, because that was very funny. And a lot of hikers meet me in Appalachian Trail. They always remember that stories, because I don't remember almost a nobody in Appalachian Trail. I think Appalachian Trail was the trail and I almost not practice any English. I almost not practice anything because I was going fast. And I start late when all the true hikers start before. So I know in the first weeks, I not see too much true hikers, 1, 2, 3. A lot of people, the day hikes. And then I start catch the true hikers more ahead. But it's funny because sometimes I hike in other trails like Arizona Trail or some sections in Colorado. And they say, hey, oh, my trail name is Quetzal. And so they say, hey, Quetzal, I remember you. Yeah, I look in there and it's like, where? And they say, Appalachian Trail. And they say, what part? Oh, you was the crazy woman cruising in the middle of the big storm. There was so many lightnings around and big rain. And everyone, we was in the shelter, big worms hiding for the rain. And we see you, and you say hi, and you went, you run, you keep going. And I say, oh, yeah, that was me in Appalachian Trail. So everyone remember me in Appalachian Trail. They say me the same thing. They say, I remember you because you went, chum. And then they know, because it's not was so many Latins and the trails, and that's yours. Also the PCT too, that was not a lot. That was, I think I, in that moment, I was the only Mexican in 2017. I don't know, sure. I don't meet other Mexican in that moment. I meet other Latins, but we was five in all the trail. And Appalachian Trail, the same thing. So they say, oh, the little Mexican woman, smaller, because I am very short person. So they say with a big backpack, it's more big than her, and she's crazy, she's going fast, you know. So that was, I really laughing every time, because I think the persons they send me more texts is people from Appalachian Trail. They say, I see you, and I remember you. It's amazing. It's really amazing how they see that. And for me, yeah, I have, like I say, Martin, I have one objective, the rain. And that was sometimes in Appalachian Trail, rain like at 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. with big lightnings and everything. And that's not going to stop me. No.
Yeah, because you were on it. You got a late start on the AT. I mean, mm-hmm. Starting in May, you needed to get the Katahdin before it closed. So, you know, not only did you have the visa issue, but you needed to beat, you were against the clock with finishing. That's amazing. Yeah. 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months I was in Katahdin in August 31. That was the day when I finished the Appalachian Trail.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And then you go on to the CDT, and again, from the same article in Backpacker Magazine, mm-hmm. that seems like you had a lot of fun and some interesting encounters there. One of them was during a lightning storm, or some of the lightning encounters.
Yeah, that was very, very terrifying lightning storm. Like I say, Appalachian Trail can keep going, but the CDT is other thing, is other level. And yeah, there was one big lightning storm. I was hiking, and it's crazy weather. People hiking or living in Colorado, they know Colorado is crazy. Colorado is like you have super Sunday, and in that moment, boom, big storm coming in super fast, quickly. You know, can see the storm coming sometimes. So I was hiking in the snow, and it was super sunny. And then when I made it to the top, the mountain, the biggest storm, it was crazy. I think that was, I think I was scared there. They're really crazy. I cannot see anything. I was frozen, and the big thunders in my head, and the lightnings. And the only thing I can do in that moment was go down. And mm-hmm. I jumped. I glissé, like a boom.
Get down off the summit as fast as you can, right?
Yeah, and I cannot see anything. So I was using my ice axe to stop to not go very fast. And also I was scared to using the ice axe, you know? It's a metal. Yeah. It's a loom. It's danger in that situation.
Yeah. I spoke with someone who hiked the Colorado Trail a few months ago. I'd spoken to this person, and they said that every day it was like they were racing against the lightning storms. It'd be beautiful weather when they started their day. They'd get towards the summit. They'd see the dark clouds heading towards them. And it was like, okay, I better hurry up and get over that summit before that storm gets here.
Yes. It's you go up and you need to be very, checking all the how move the clouds, how is the color and everything. Yeah, start keep going. You don't want to be in one big storm in the top of the mountain. Never.
And in Colorado, you're dealing with higher altitude, so you are affected by the higher elevation there as well.
Yeah. Okay. For me, maybe, I don't know, sure.
You're from Mexico City, so the higher elevation, you may already be accustomed to it, or your body may already be adjusted to being able to walk at a higher elevation.
Yeah, but yes, it's other problem too. So like I say, I know fit through hiking is, it's mental, yes, when you enjoy the things. But for enjoy the things, you need to prepare physical too. It's not... I share this with you, Martin, but in Appalachian Trail, principally, I see a lot of people, they don't like be there. Do you know? I say, hi, good morning, and everything. And that was other thing that make me characteristic in all the trails. And this is the reason why they put me Quetzal, is because I am very friendly. I smile in the trail. I don't think I am never mad in the trail because I really enjoy it, you know? Yeah, I don't enjoy, I don't do it. Like I say with the bike, when I was trying to go and ride a bike to the Patagonia, and I do my first training and I can't touch the bike anymore, I say no more, because I'm not going to enjoy, you know? So it's a sort of thing, be sincere with you and say, I don't enjoy this. And not try to put something that you don't like, you know?
Yeah, I always emphasize that with people, is that this should be fun, right? We all have our different comfort levels. People can hike at different paces. Some people bring heavier gear with them simply because it makes it for a more comfortable experience for them.
Exactly.
And it should be fun.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like it's this other thing I like about true hiking. It's like hike your own hike. Like you can hike the form how you like it. No, like, mm-hmm. it's not it's not so many, I don't know, say standards, rules, stereotypes. What is the word correct to say? Like, for example, like, if you mountaineering, you need to use this, 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 and this. And when I was a mountain bike, you need to do this, this, and this. I don't like that. You know, yeah, it's something also I like about true hiking. It's like you do whatever you want. It's you thing.
Yeah, that's what I love about my long distance hikes is that very few things you have to do. Okay, like leave no trace is something you have to do. But other than that, you'll decide what time you're going to roll out of your tent and start hiking in the morning, or how far you're going to hike, or what you're going to eat. How many opportunities in life do we have that much freedom?
Yes. Really? Yeah. Yeah. So this is very nice. And I think this is why I love thru hiking a lot. A lot of sports, the mountains is no stereotypes. This is other thing I want to share is a lot of the sports sometimes in Mexico is very elitist. Like it's not a lot of support to be athlete in Mexico. So you could very good athlete, it's good, but if you don't have the money behind you, it's not going to support you. So that was other thing I need to fade about that. And that was other thing I really love about true hiking. This is, you don't care how much. We're the same. Exactly.
Everybody's, I've had this conversation with a number of hikers is that, right, you get to that campsite or that shelter. It doesn't matter if it's a doctor, lawyer, recent high school graduate. Everybody's the same.
Exactly. I love
everybody's
that
out there. Yeah, it's great.
I love that about true hiking. We true hikers, we are the I think if we can comparison who have more, probably the person have more food, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and there's just this whole spirit of, right, if you have none and I have two, well, I'm going to give you one and we're going to share, right? If you're down to your, if you don't have any water and I have a half a liter, well, I'll give you half of what I have. And we're going to, you know, everybody works together. Yeah.
Exactly. It's this other thing, Martin. Also, I from my culture, like Mexicans, good thing to remember, mention that I have one story about that. I don't see again at this hiker anymore, but it's one mystery for me, this hiker. When I was hiking in the Sierras, I don't see a lot of people there. And I usually hiking with one person and that's it. Oh, me and one person. That thing. I have different partners in that time. It's correct to say. I have different persons that go with me because no one with me. I stopped in one town for 4 days because nobody want to go to the Sierras, true, in that moment. So when I made it to Ptolemy Meadows in the Pacific Crest Trail, it was a little cabin that was for emergency cabin, like in case of storms or avalanche or something. That was open. It was very nice because it was cold, and I can stay in one place warm, and I can have my food and everything. And I usually like to have extra food only in case, because I don't like to be hungry on the trail. And let me tell you something, Martin. But I usually. This is another thing, my friends laughing to me, and I make me laugh. I make it funny to myself right now. But I don't know if I say correct, but I don't care what to say, but whatever. So I am a very short person, but I eat a lot. I think the biggest gear in my backpack is my...
Your food bag?
See. I know, my thing for cooking is huge. And my friends or other hikers, they meet me to say, how do you eat like that? It's like, it's coming all my power. I need to eat. So I always carry extra food. So in that moment when I was in Cholomi, there was one guy catch me, and he no have any food. Also, no was only that. He was hiking from Kennedy Meadows all the way to Ptolemy, straight. It's long, straight, Martin. It's like a 180 miles with snow. Heavy snow. It's crazy. But anyways, that was one thing that I remember very well, that he was looking, he went to the cabin and he was looking like, I know her. He not say anything that he no have food. He was start looking in every place in the cabin to see, no? And then when I see his bear can, he was all the things to the bear can that was trash. And I told him, that was like a, look, my bear can is full. Because I carry so many food. Take whatever you want, you know? And that's this other thing, my culture, like a Mexican, people that can visit Mexico, they're going to understand. People that already visit Mexico, they probably understand me why I say that. But in Mexico, the only thing we can always offer is food. If you're very poor, if you're very poor family, no matter what, you're always going to offer food. Like if everybody is sitting that moment, it's coming another person. If you have a little food, you're going to offer food. Food is always for everyone, you know? This is one thing culture in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I've heard stories and talked to people that have been to areas where people have less. And the stories always seem to be that the people that appear to have the least always seem to be the most generous, especially when it comes to their food. Like you said, you'll see a very humble family, but they'll be very generous with sharing their food with strangers. It's just, that's wonderful. I mean, it's, I don't know. We can all take a lesson from that. We can be better people if we could take lessons from that. That seeing that, when we're sharing and helping other people, we're helping ourselves too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think it's something, and also I think people learn too about when you do true hiking. You know, that is important. Mm-hmm. It's when you start appreciating the things like water, food, care for the nat, the ecology, care for a lot of things. Maybe in your normal life in the city, so you don't care. But when you see that, you see how difficult, no? It's why in some moment we, true hikers, we look like a homeless. We don't care because we don't care about have the best clothes in that moment or be cleansed, you know?
We all just stink when we're out there, men, women, young, old. We're all just stinky hikers, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, very stinky. Yeah.
What's next for you, Zelena? You have, is there another trail coming up for you?
I have a lot of projects right now, Martin. I have one big project. But you're going to know very soon in that moment. I only want to say I passed another level. I think when you finish one objective, is other objective coming. You never, be human. It's like objectives all the time, you know? So when I did the Triple Crown, I decide before the direct my Triple Crown, I don't know what happened with me, but now I'm talking with you, I can realize that when I start the CDT, I don't start from the border in New Mexico. I start from Chihuahua State, Mexico. I want to start from my country. That was my triple crown. I want to touch my country. So me and other two guys, we went together, two friends, the mine, because also in this area is no, this is a problem, some big problems in Mexico, you know. Yeah. This area is not like a totally safe about be alone in like a cartels, you know, drugs there. So this is the only thing make me sadly about my country. We have beautiful places, huge places. They're beautiful. But the thing is, we have a lot of bad people in some places, not all, but in some places. So that was the reason why it was two friends with me. That was also my first time I hiked long for days. And we hiked from the Sierra, the Sierra Oriental, digo Occidental, La Sierra Occidental is the name. And in Chihuahua, that was the Sierra. And we connection the CDT to there. But I have crazy stories, but right now I'm writing my book, but we have lots of stories, crazy stories. And that in that section, there was super crazy story. And I'm not talking about animals. I'm talking about the more dangerous animal is in the world, and this is the human. but because a lot of people from Mexico, they always ask me about, or people ask me about, are you scared about animals? I'm not scared about animals. I feel safe with animals. Okay.
Safer less with degree. Animals than some humans, right?
Yes, exactly. So anyways, when I hike in this area in Chihuahua, I found my other objective. I'm planning construction one trail in Mexico, long trail. And I have this plan for 2019.
Wow.
Yeah, but I share this with you, Martin, because it's going to be public very soon. The only reason why I stopped to do this project, that was because I have injury. I was going to start this project in 2021. In the first year, 2021, and I stopped because I have one injury. And I start doing a lot of training to do this project because that was other than my dreams. So I hope very soon, I training a lot right now so I can be the strong like I was before, or maybe more, so I can do this big thing.
I want you to come back on and share this with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Progress in this.
And definitely when your book is ready, I love having writers on. My book just came out a couple months ago, and I love talking to writers, and I love the excitement writers have because it's exciting, right? I know myself, putting it down on paper and reading it, it's like you're reliving all this enjoyment you had out there.
Yes. And I want to write my book too much time. I want to write my book too much time ago, but I have a mission to do the Triple Crown in that moment. And I have this big mission, and I was like working a lot for that, not only like a training, you know, working a lot because it's not the same money we make in Mexico to come to the United States. You know, it's like 20 times more. So that was like, I have like two jobs to working to do every true hiking. So that was why it took me a very long time to write. But yeah, I am excited. I have so many stories to share with the people about the true hiking and how I see the true hiking, because also not was all the time I did my true hikes like a sport. There was in some moments I went down I can understand a people. I see a lot of people doing because they feel bad, emotional. Mm-hmm. And yep. I understand that. No was it, I started like an athlete, and there was some moments in my life when I emotional like was very bad.
Right.
And I hiked like that, and that was super tough. That was very, very, very tough hiking like that. And then injury come, and that was other story too. Injury come, it was, that was, I think, the more challenge I have, like a fighting. Martin, I can talk this right now with you, but fighting with the, when, you know, when the one doctor told you, you can do the thing you love it. That was the, that was the emotional thing. Like I said, how I can do that? And that's, this is, that means, I say for people listening right now, when one doctor told you, you can do the things you can love, that means it's not the correct person. You need to find because it's possible. And I think is everything is possible. And it was, take me time to find the correct persons that are going to trust in me and say, I can go to do this again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I can relate to that. I had knee surgery in 2007 and I was given the impression my days of long distance backpacking were probably done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe some short day hikes here and there. And yeah, I took that time while I was recovering to drop a few pounds and start researching lighter gear and to make sure I can make sure I can get back out there on a trail and do what I love doing. And like you said, don't accept somebody just saying no.
Yes. No, no. The most, if the doctor, the super famous doctor and say no, I think it's better help yourself. And it's, I can say that right now, Martin, but in that moment is difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. And I think you pass for that too. It's difficult to understand I think the more important thing we have in life is we body. And this is the we bodies is incredible machines. They can adapt, but you need to work in hard. Is going to be, and it's going to take time. It's not going to pass magic, and it's up and down. It's up and down all the time and everything. And I can tell you that, Martin, this is the first time I talk about that. I spent long time. I was also not public so many times in my social media because I was care for myself in that moment. I was trying to they leave all the comments that I can be doing this thing I really love, you know, and not only that, is everything or many a lot of things, no, you know, I was already and Martin, that happened, that injury happened before the me start my project, like 2 weeks before the start, the big dream I have, boom, and I can't do it anymore. And I was so bad. I was so sad about that. And I was looking like a very desperate for looking answers.
But right before you were going to start, you had this injury that had you believing this dream might not happen.
Exactly.
So that had to be so difficult. Oh.
Yeah, that was so difficult. But every time I did it, and I do, I working hard in this project, and I hope so I can very soon I make this public. So can people know what is going to be, and I pray going to be. It's no trail. It's anything. It's nothing. It's nothing. And I'm so excited because I try a little the that. I do all the research. I do all the planning and everything. And I do a small scouting. And I feel ready. You know, I feel ready. It's nothing. But, you know, after past so many days in the mountains, like a true hiking, because I did it for 3 years through hiking. So I don't know if something magic happened after that. I can read the mountains. It's weird. I don't know if something happened to you, but I feel like when you have one passion and you dedication a lot and something, it's very, it's something super, I don't know how I understand, but it's something magic. But I feel like, for example, when I go into places that I never went before to explore, principally in Mexico, and Mexico is everything you need to explore. And sometimes I feel like I was there before. It's something magic. I don't know how to explain that, but it happened to me a lot.
Yeah, it's almost a spiritual feeling sometimes on these hikes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say to young people from Mexico who are dreaming to go do one of these hikes? What encouraging words would you say to them?
Yeah. I want to say they never, they be too honest with them. They really want this. They need to be honest with the objectives. They be too honest with themselves. They really want to this. If they really want to, it's nothing going to stop them. They need to go and need to be sincere with them, because the only persons they can make with dreams is us. Another thing I can say, and I like to say this a lot, in Mexico and Latin America, we don't have a lot of opportunities. We make the opportunities. So if you're waiting for the opportunities happen, it's not going to happen. You need to make the opportunity. You need to open this door, because if not, it's not going to happen.
That's a good lesson for all of us, I think. Don't sit there and wait for somebody to open that door for you. Pretty much what you're saying is walk over and open that door.
Yeah. And that was, Martin, that was not easy. Every trail that was like, I need to open this door. And that was, like I say, I was engineer. So first thing I need to say is no to the engineer, because nobody, for engineers, you need to spend long time in the working in the companies. They're not going to give me 6 months for hiking every year, no? So the first thing I did was, I'm not going to work my degree. So whatever give me work, I need to found this. I need to make the money for that. You need to make sacrifice. But in the moment is something magic happened. It's crazy. And I know mention another thing, Martin, but other than my projects right now I'm doing is I am an athlete and I like, I feel in love with passion about true hiking, and I like to help more people doing true hiking, but like be strong, training, know what is the things and everything. Not only like that, I think one of my passions now also is helping people to do the best in the true hiking, and to they finish the objectives, you know, like the runners and the mountain bikers. I feel like I am like a coach, but I like to be, I don't like when people thinking they can do it because other people say, it's like, you can do it. I like to inspiration other people that can say, you can do it. So right now it's other things I do in this. More people, they can be autosufficient. Mm-hmm. Is correct to say, mm-hmm. like they can be there in the mountains. They can be for themselves. They can be a strong, preparing mentally and physical. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's great. I think, because you know what you've done, you're. I think you're an inspirational person. The fact that you went to a foreign country, didn't hike one of these trails, you hiked three of them. You overcame an injury before you started that must have emotionally been a big setback to you. And now you've got this passion, this lifelong passion that you now found. And I think it's great that you're sharing it with other people.
Thank you.
So where can we find you? Are you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, like a Celtin Agatsali, the same. Or you can find my information in my Linktree. I have my Linktree. You can find all my information and all the projects I'm doing right now is there.
Well, Celtin, I want to thank you for being generous enough with your time to come on and share your story. As I said, read about you in Backpacker Magazine. And my immediate response was, this is somebody I want to talk to. Because, you've got an exciting story and a great personality that just, like I said, I think your personality and your stories are going to inspire a lot of people. And I really hope to have you back on at another time so we can continue to hear about some of these upcoming projects in your book. But as I said, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing all of this with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I will be so happy to share the more stories coming soon. It's coming soon.
All righty.
Super excited.
And we'll be waiting. You have a good, all right. Yeah, we'll finish it there. All righty. This episode of Pop Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.